There's an interesting summary of the Daf Yomi every morning on Moreshet at 10 to 8.
Oh,
that's nice. Usually here while I'm bringing my kids to school or coming back.
Great, excellent.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. If I'm up to date, sometimes you tell me something I didn't think of or didn't get so well.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not, it reminds me of where I should be.
I see. Okay. So we started yesterday on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. And we're looking at a Gemara towards the bottom of the Amud, which is called Tekef L'smicha Shechita. And that means that there's a connection between Smicha and Shechita. They have to be in close proximity. The question is whether that's a Doraisa requirement, a Drabana requirement, is it only Lechatchila, or is it even Ma'akev, B'dieved? And the Gemara says the following, that we have a Braisa, and the Braisa seems to assume that in the case of an Asham Mitzora, the only way that he could achieve Smicha, which in the case of a Tameh is problematic, because assuming Smicha has to be what we call Lifnei Hashem in the Azara, Tameh is not allowed to go into the Azara. And the Braisa says that we're not going to allow the Mitzora to go into the Azara, but he's going to stand at a place called Shar Nikanar. And you may recall that Shar Nikanar is not considered Kadosh B'Kedushas Azara, and therefore it's okay for him to stand at the Shar Nikanar. Then they bring the Karban into the Azara, and they shecht it in the Azara. So he stands in the Shar Nikanar, which is outside of the Azara, and that's where he does the Smicha. And then the carbon is brought to wherever it has to be shechted in the Azara, and the Mitzora himself cannot enter into the Azara. And the reason for that is because the final step in the process of Taras HaMitzora is called Hazaz Dam. He needs what's called Dam Al Bahonosov, and he hasn't done that yet. And the Gemara says that we have to figure out what exactly this Braisa is holding. Maika Savar. That's where we want to look. So let's count. It's about, I'd say, about 10 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The first word in the line is Efshar, and then it says Maika Savar. So what is the opinion of the Tana, the Braisa, who says that in the case of Asham Mitzora, he will not be able to fulfill the requirement of Tekef L'smicha Shechita, because again, there's going to be a distance between the Shar HaNikanar and the Mokom Shechita, so there won't be Tekef L'smicha Shechita. Ika Savar Smichas Osham Mitzora, Asham Mitzora Doraisa. If the Torah itself commands the Mitzora to bring his asham, and not only to bring his asham, but also to do smicha on the asham, and at the same time tekef l'smicha shechita. So we have a number of premises here. Premise number one is the Torah requires smicha in this case of asham mitzvah. Premise number two is in order to do smicha, you're going to have to enter into the azara, because otherwise you won't be able to fulfill the requirement of Tekef L'smicha Shechita. And again, you may recall that we discussed the Shita earlier of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a long distance between the Shar Nikanar and the Tzafon where the Shechita has to take place. So what does it mean? The Torah, in a sense, is involved in a contradiction, if you will. On the one hand, it's requiring Smicha in the case of an Asham Mitzora. On the other hand, it's requiring that the Smicha take place right before the Shechita. and the shechita itself has to be done b'tzofon, so there's no way humanly possible that the Hashem mitzora can possibly fulfill the requirement of mitzvah smicha, because if the mitzora is enjoined from entering into the azara, and the only way he can do the smicha is by going deep into the azara for the sake of tzofon. So what does the Torah mean when it requires smicha? So the answer must be leol v'lismoch lehedja. It must be that since the Torah, derachmona amar, the Torah commanded him in the mitzvah of smicha, then the Torah must be overlooking the fact that he is a tamei. And although, as a universal rule, a tamei cannot enter into the mikdash, into the azara, this is got to be the exception to the rule. So why is it that the Brisa tells us that the rule or the principle of tekev l'smicha shchita has to be suspended in this case of Hashem Mitzorah? If the Torah is commanding him to do what? To do the smicha, and there's no way to do smicha samuch l'shchita unless he enters into the azara, then the Torah must be saying that he's allowed to enter into the azara. Omar of Adavar Masna, you're right. The Torah would allow him, and indeed require of him, to enter into the Azara in order to achieve smicha, but the Rabbana won't allow him to do it. Why? Gzera Shemayarba Bipsios. What we're worried about is that he may walk too many steps. In other words, he's only allowed Litzorech Ha'avoda, Litzorech Smichas HaKarban, to enter in to the Azara up until a certain point. Let's call it the boundary, you know, the entry into the Azara. In this case, it's Tetzafon, because we're talking about a carbon asham. And he may decide, okay, he did the smicha, let's hang around a little bit. You know, let's tiptoe a little bit further. You know, there's some exciting things going on. Let's watch. And in such a case, because he's still Tameh, and there's no need for him to go into that part of the Azara, he has violated the Chiyuv Karis. So the Rabbanan suspended the mitzvah of smicha. Now what that must mean is that the carbon is kosher without smicha. Okay. Ika diamri omar av ad bar masa. The Gemara offers a second explanation of this braisa. Smichas osha mitzora de oraisa. But v'tekef l'smicha shchita lav de oraisa. In other words, the din that an Hashem mitzora requires smicha, that's a Torah requirement. But the din, that hefsek, that there couldn't be any interruption, any distance from the smicha to the shchita, that's only a rabbinic requirement. That's only the Rabbanan. Again, we have to know why the Rabbanan made such a takana. That's a question unto itself. But again, since on a Doraisa level, he could be somech on his carbon outside the Azara and then bring the behemah of the Kachim into the Azara, then in the case of Mitzora, where the Torah commanded him to do smicha, what we're going to do is we're going to insist that he remain outside of the Azara in order to achieve the mitzvah of smicha without violating Bia, going into the Azara Bituma. He'll accomplish on the one hand the obligation, which is a Torah obligation of smicha on the asham, and at the same time he won't violate the iser, the chiv kares for entering into the azar bituma. And all this depends upon what we call tekef l'smicha shchita lav da orais. If the Torah doesn't require tekef l'smicha, so he's going to stand in the shar nikonar, which is outside the azar, that's where he's going to do the smicha, then they'll bring the carbon what was it, 22 amos if I remember correctly, all the way to the tzafon, and there's going to be a long hefsek between his smicha and his shchita. But that's fine, because the whole requirement of tekef l'smicha shchita is only the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan are going to wait this requirement for the sake of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of smicha, which is a doraisa.
Rabbi Herzog?
Yeah.
There's no chance of explaining away the fact that from Sharni Kanor to the Mizbeach was a certain amount of distance that maybe that's not long enough to be considered tekef.
That in other words, that it's not a hefsek. So it could it be tekef? It's less than a hefsek.
Yeah.
So that's a machlokas tanoim as to I don't know. Shmuel, you weren't here yesterday. Oh, okay. So we saw a diagram yesterday. Dom was very kind enough to find a diagram, and there's a machlokus exactly which is the boundary line of the tzafon.
Thank you very much, Dom.
And Rabbi Yosef is of the opinion that tzafon is only kineged hamizbeach. Okay, and that's a distance from Shar Nikanor of 22 Amma. That's definitely a hefsek. But you're right. There is a sheet of the Chachamim who holds that it's not Meruchak Tvei, because you don't have to wait till, you know, the Tzafon doesn't begin with Keneged HaMizbeach, but it begins a little bit earlier, and therefore it's much closer.
Thank you very much.
Okay then? So that's something we discussed yesterday. But what I'm eager to get to is the last line on this daf. So let's see, Meisvei. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa. The Braisa is interpreting what we call a Hekesh. A Hekesh means when you have two psukim, two requirements, that are written one next to the other. So at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, the Torah requires smicha, and it says v'samach, then it says v'samach yado arosh ha'ola, and just in the very next pasuk, it says v'shachad es ben habakol lifnei Hashem. So the Torah writes the smicha and the shechita in two continuous psukim, and this teaches us ma smicha b'tahorim. Now this again, we have to understand, for some reason, which the Gemara is about to analyze, the Braisa assumes that smicha could only be applicable to someone who's tar. It means a tamei. If the Baal HaKorban is a tamei, he's excluded from smicha. Is af shechita so too b'tahorim? And the shechita has to be done by a tahor. So now the Gemara analyzes. E amrit, if you're going to tell me that the din of tekef l'smicha shechita lav da'oraisa, which means that you can have a distance between the smicha and the shechita, so the shechita has to be done in the azara, but it means that the smicha could be done outside the azara, is bitmeim nami mishkachesla. Why? How does this braisa assume that smicha is bitahorim? Well, who says that smicha is bitahorim? Minayin lecha? Who revealed that secret to you? That smicha is bitahorim. Maybe smicha is bitmeim. Why? Because there's no requirement of doing the smicha in the azara. The only requirement, the only logical way I could compel you to assume that it's in the smicha is in the azara is if I hold tekef l'smicha shechita. But now we're holding, according to the previous answer of Rav Ada Bar Masna, that there is no din of tekef l'smicha shechita according to the Torah law. If that be the case, then willy-nilly, the Tomei could do the smicha. If the Tomei could do the smicha, then this whole hekesh is completely awry, it's completely off-center, because you're telling me that the smicha has to be done by a tar, and it's impossible for smicha to be done by a tameh, but now we're saying that you can do the smicha outside of the azara, because the entire requirement of smicha, of taking the smicha shechita, is all based on a derabbanan requirement, which makes it impossible for a tameh to enter into the azara to do smicha. But now that we're holding it's only a rabbinic requirement, then he, the Baal HaKorban, could stand outside the azara, do his smicha outside the azara, and then the shechita will be done in the azara. And that can be done even if he's tameh, even if the Baal HaKorban is tameh. Ela, so therefore the Gemara says, epuch. We have to take the last answer of Rav Ada Bar Masna and we have to turn it inside out, upside down. Instead of assuming that smicha in Asham Mitzor is a requirement, a Torah requirement, and taking with smicha l'shchita is only Drabbanon, we're going to say just the opposite. That the Braisa, that in the case of Asham Mitzor, requires that the smicha be done outside the Azor, the Shara Nikanor, that Braisa holds that the Torah never required smicha in the case of Asham Mitzora. And although all other Karbonos Asham require smicha, the Torah relieved the Asham Mitzora case of the requirement of smicha, possibly because of the Tumah issue. However, Rashi says for a different reason, because Hashem Mitzorah is unique. It's not a korban for kapara. It's only a korban lahashir es haMitzorah, to allow him to go into the Mikdash and eat kodshim and so forth and so on. But the bottom line is that the Torah relieved the Hashem Mitzorah of the requirement of smicha. So the whole deal of smicha in the case of Hashem Mitzorah is midrabbanon. Ein achinami tekef l'smicha shchita is dorais, as we prove from this price, so that an hekesh between smicha and shchita requiring a tahar. However, since the smicha itself is only midrabbanon, because in the case of Hashem Mitzorah the Torah relieved the responsibility, the requirement of smicha, therefore, for the sake of a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we're not going to allow the mitzvah to violate the iser of going into the azor. So let's just go over the last two possibilities in explaining the brisa. One possibility which the Gemara is about to reject is that smicha is a requirement d'oraisa, but the halach of tekef with smicha shchita is only d'rabbanan. And therefore, since tekef l'smicha shchit is only drabbanan, we can allow the smicha to be done outside the azara. The Gemara rejects that because the Braisa assumes on a doraisa level that smicha is going to teach me that the requirement of shchita is for a tar to do the shchita. Therefore, the Gemara turns it upside down, and at the end of the day, what we're saying is that smichas Hashem Mitzorah is not a requirement on a Doraisa level, so therefore the whole smicha in this case of an Hashem Mitzorah is only Drabbanon, and even though tekef l'smicha shchit is Doraisa, which would mean that in a normal case of every other karban on the face of the map, with the exception of Hashem Mitzorah, we're going to have to do the smicha inside the azara, because we require tekef l'smicha shchita. Here, in the case of Hashem Mitzorah, we have an exception to the rule, because the entire requirement of smicha is only what? The Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon are not going to, for the sake of their requirement, violate an isa d'oraisa of kenisa l'azara. That's what we have. Okay. Now, Rabbo, so what I'd like you to look at is page Chaf Zayin in the Nefesh Tova, and I'm hoping you have that. Now, I'm sort of, in a sense, jumping in here, and I'm leaving out one introductory point, which I'm going to make Baal Peh, instead of going through the entire piece here, which is based on, if you take a look at the Gemara, you'll see there's a Tosus here called Smichas Asham. And instead of going through that whole piece, I'm just going to summarize the bottom line of this Tosus for our purposes. In other words, we want to study today the Rambam. But it's good to know, in the background, the Sheet of Tosfos. We're studying Sheet of Sarama, but Sheet of Tosfos is that even if we hold, like the Maskana Sasugya, the Tekef L'smicha Shchita is Doraisa, but nevertheless it's not Likuva. Almost everything that's Doraisa, all the requirements in Kodshim, are indispensable, and you can't live without them. You have to fulfill them, it's all or nothing. You know, all a bust. But here, the Tosus establishes that there's an exception to the rule, and Eino Ma'akev B'smicha, that if he did the smicha at a certain distance from the shchita with a hefsek in the middle, nevertheless, the smicha is still valid, even though it's a Doraisa requirement. So what we're saying is, l'chatchila, he has to make sure that there's no hefsek between the smicha and the shchita, but b'di'eved, the smicha would be valid even if there was a distance, there was a hefsek between the smicha and the shchita. And this essay that we want to study today is an analysis of the Rambam, and to try to figure out what would the Rambam say about this. A, does the Rambam hold that the requirement of tekef l'smicha shchit is doraisa? And B, how far did the Torah go in requiring tekef l'smicha shchita? Did it say that if you violate this principle, this requirement, the whole smicha is just worthless? Or is this just the perfect ideal way of doing the smicha? That's the way Tosfos says it, but it's not ma'akev. And you would yotzei the mitzvah of smicha even if it wasn't tekef l'smicha shchita. That's our question here to understand the Rambam. And the Rambam I have here, you can also take a look at, I have one other copy of the Rambam if you like, otherwise you'll just have to look at the Nefesh Tova because he quotes the Rambam verbatim. I just want to mention where the Rambam is, then Shmuel, you're on board. Let me just say that the Rambam is in Perek Gimel, at the very end of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. Maisa Karbonos is in Sefer Avoda. If you happen to have the Frankel edition of the Rambam, which you have been in front of you, it's on page Reish Chaf Vav, if that helps you. Yeah, Shmuel.
So the mitzvah of smicha is on a lot of different korbanot, correct?
Correct. So that just about every korban that we know
we're talking about is first not standard, and secondly, absolutely the most difficult, because the fact that you have a person bringing a sham who's tameh, right? So you got the whole thing kind of in a knot. But normally, so there, you have to say something about if it's the Mina Torah and it's on all shara korbanot in a certain way. So you could say that makes that svara maybe a little better. That maybe Hashem has to be an exception,
right?
Because the mockery, it has to be tameh, because that's why it's bringing the Hashem.
Right. Exactly.
There's no other way it can happen.
Exactly.
So maybe there has to be a kula on that.
And one way of saying the kula is to say simply that the Torah doesn't require smicha in the case of Hashem Mitzorah. And that's the only carbon that we know of where the Torah alleviated the responsibility of smicha. The other way of saying it is to say tekef l'smicha shchita is only derabbanan, and therefore the smicha could be done outside the azara. And even if the requirement of smicha in the case of Hashem Mitzor is doraisa, like it is in all karbanos, here the rabbanan are going to alleviate the responsibility of going into the Azor for the sake of smicha, go back to the Doraisa Allah, which allows and validates the smicha outside the Azor.
Can't do it by a shaliach. The smicha is something, it's a chovas gav.
Right, chovas aguf. Okay,
so we have to solve this.
Right.
Way or each sheet
so again, keep in mind, Shmuel, that the Gemara wanted to push in favor of saying that smicha, that tekev l'smicha shchita is only the Rabbanon, which means basically that smicha could be done outside the Azara, but the Gemara rejects that based on a braisa that assumes that only a tar could do smicha. And then we're going to have to assume that although tekev l'smicha shchita, which means there's no smicha in the Azara, we're going to have to say the exception to that rule is the one carbon where smicha is only the Rabbanon. And where is smicha derabbanan? Smicha is doraisa, because we're holding now that smicha, that the requirement of tekef l'smicha shchita is doraisa and has to be in the azara. What is the one smicha, the one karma where we can do smicha outside the azara? That's Hashem Mitzorah, because the Torah never required smicha in the case of Hashem Mitzorah, because of the paradox that you mentioned. And the rabbanan required smicha, but let him do the smicha outside the azara. And it's an interesting kind of smicha, because what we're saying is that the paradigm of smicha in all karbanos is in the azara because of this halach of tekev l'smicha shchita. But the exception to that rule is going to be a smicha derabbanan. When the rabbanan instituted smicha, they're not going to require tekev l'smicha shchita, where the mitzora is going to now have to go into the azara and violate a chiyuv kares of a tamei shenichnas l'azara. Again, let's go back to the drawing board. This is what we want to study right now. When we say the maskana sasuya that tekef l'smicha shchita is doraisa, what happens if he messed up and he did the smicha and then there was a hefsek until he did the shchita? What's the deal with that smicha? Is it worthless? Tosa says here on Daf Lamed Gimel that b'di'evet, if he violated this principle of tekev l'smicha shchita, nevertheless the smicha is valid, and we want to know what the Rambam would say about it. Okay then? So the Rambam writes the following: Ubemakom shesonchim shochtim v'tekef l'smicha shchita. Now the Rambam already opens up with a very interesting comment here. Meaning, on the one hand, and I'm very happy about this, the Rambam seems to assume that the halacha requires tekef l'smicha shchita, and I'd be eager to assume that that's a doraisa halacha. The Rambam doesn't sound like he's talking about a darabonah. But yet the Rambam seems to have two different requirements that fit under this one single principle. So we've got one principle called tekef l'smicha shchita, and the Rambam in his flowchart has two different applications of that one principle. Number one, it's got to be b'makom shesomchin shchita, meaning both smicha and shchita have to take place in the same location. And number two, the Rambam says tekef l'smicha shchita means immediately following the smicha, the shchita has to take place. That's a continuity in time. So we have a contiguity, if you can use that word, in place. It's got to be the same location. Put an X on the azara, and that's where both smicha and shchita are going to take place. And number two, there cannot be a shahia of time, a lapse of time between the smicha and the shchita. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, look at the next line of the Rambam. He spells it out. He says, "V'yimshachat b'makom acher." That's number one. He did the shchita in place Y, whereas he did the smicha in place X. So there was no continuity in location. Oh, bless you. Sheshah shchita sheshah. Shah means he waited and delayed between the smicha and the shchita. The Rambam says shchita sokshir. In other words, even though he violated this halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita, in one of two possible scenarios, either because he did the smicha here and the shchita there, or because he did the smicha and then he delayed implementing the shchita, in both cases, although, says the Rambam, he violated the din, the requirement of tekef l'smicha shchita, nevertheless shchita sok
shem.
B'di'evet.
It's perek revi'i or shmi?
Whenever I say he violated, I always mean b'di'evet, yeah. This is the top part of the page that you should have. Do you have a page that says on the top right Reish Chaf Vav?
Yes.
So it's the top halacha on Reish Chaf Vav. You have it?
Yud Bet.
Halacha Yud Bet.
Yeah.
Okay. Then?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So again, you could have seen the same thing in here, in the photocopy. To train ourselves, it's good to see the Rambam in the original. You know, that's why I brought you this Rambam. Now the Rambam has a phrase here in the next part of his discussion, which is called Shiari Mitzvah. And I can only tell you this, that Shiari Mitzvah means it's not the thrust of the mitzvah, it's the extension of the mitzvah. It's not the primary essential element in the mitzvah, but it's an addition to the mitzvah. Like, perhaps, if I can give a mashal, maybe we would say nanuim. In the case of lulav, it's called shiarim mitzvah. Why? Because the main mitzvah is mid'agbe nafikbe. As soon as he lifts up the dalad minim, he was yotze. But he enhances the mitzvah and extends the mitzvah through nanuim. Or, for example, lulav tzarch aga, you know, that we have to tie together three of the four minim. That might be shiarim mitzvah. I'm just using this l'saber tosen. I'm not making any analogies here, but and the Rambam says that this concept of smicha is called shiarim mitzvah, which means the following, Rabbosai. Supposing a man brings a karbon and they skip the smicha, they go straight to the shchita, etc., etc. Would he achieve his kapara? If I'm calling smicha a shiari mitzvah,
he would still have a kapara.
It's like a case of a person who picked up the lulav and he didn't do nanuim with the lulav. He'd be yotze the main mitzvah of lulav. I'm just using that as a mashal. Lefichach, the Rambam says, therefore, in lo samach, kiper. He would achieve his kapara even in the absence of smicha. the Einama Kevas, and the absence of smicha does not render the carbon invalid. The Afal Pichein Malim Olav Ki'il Lo Kipeh. Okay, that's more of a spiritual comment. You know, that's more for the, you know, for the hashkafa here. You know, you want to know if a person could be very laid back about smicha. You know, you say, oh, I don't have to do smicha. After all, the carbon will be kosher without smicha. And he ignores smicha. So in such a case, malo of hakosuv ki ilo keep it. It's as if he didn't have a kapar. Okay, that's not for us. We want to focus on the mainstay of the Rambam. Now we'll take a look at the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says, after quoting our Gemara on the second line, he says, "V'lo yadati lama lo kosav kein rabbeinu."
Which is the Kesef Mishnah?
Okay, so that's on your bottom right, your top right, and you'll see it says Yud Beis. Mm-hmm. You have that, and then it says B'mokum shesomchim shochtim v'tekev l'smicha shchita Mishnah sof perakavad eshtei midos ubi Gemara. And in the Gemara it says, "Maika Amar Hachikam b'makom shesomchim shochtim shetekef l'smicha shchita." In other words, he's a little bit bothered by the Rambam here. The Gemara assumes that since there's halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita, therefore b'makom shesomchim shochtim. The Rambam sort of made like two halachas out of one. There's one halacha called tekef l'smicha shchita, and based on that halacha, you have a requirement that b'makom shesomchim shochtim, and the Rambam here has b'makom shesomchim shochtim as like an independent halacha, and then he writes for tekef l'smicha shchita. Lo yadati lama lo kosav kein rabbeinu. The language of the Rambam is a little perplexing, says the Kesef Mishnah. It would have been a lot more logical for the Rambam if he would have opened up this halacha by formulating the principle called tekef l'smicha shchita, and then he would have derived the conclusion that b'makom shesomchim shochtim, which is exactly how it's written in the Gemara. The Gemara says, you want to know why b'makom shesomchim shochtim? The answer is because we have a principle called tekef l'smicha shchita. The Rambam has it a little bit in the reverse, you know, topsy-turvy. He starts with saying that, you know, where do you have to do the smicha? The place where you're going to do the shchita. And the shchita and the smicha have to take place in the same location. And then the Rambam formulates halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita. So that bothers the Kesef Mishnah. Okay, fine. So he writes here again, I'm assuming everyone has Chaf Zayin. Yehuda, you don't have the text, so you'll have to listen to Rosh Bal Peh. Yesh La'ayin V'das HaRamba. So you're after the star there on the left side. Do you see that? I just want to make sure we're both saying that everybody's on the same page. You just like,
I see Chaf Zayin, I don't see the star. Oh, now I see the star. Sorry.
Okay, I don't know, it's probably not a star. It's, I don't know what it's called. I'm sure there's a name for it. It's a hexagon. Anyway, so on the third line it says Yesh La'ayin. You have it? You should underline that. The Yesh La'ayin V'das HaRambam V'inyin Zeh. I want to know, what is the Rambam Shita if B'di'evet, again, Don B'di'evet, I'm going to emphasize that, B'di'evet, he wasn't Somech his smicha and his shkita. He didn't do a takef, as we said. And then he quotes the Rambam, and then in the next paragraph he quotes the Kesef Mishnah, V'hainu. And then we're up to the paragraph V'hainu. What was bothering the Kesef Mishnah? The language of the Rambam that opens up, the Rambam opens up this halach and he writes, U'b'makom shesomchim shochtim, and then he goes on to formulate the principle of tekev l'smicha shchita. It sounds like these are two different dinim. He hasn't even mentioned tekef l'smicha shchita, and he's already formulated the halacha that the smicha and the shchita have to take place in the same place. Uvimenachas tan ki hai lishna. Now we're going on to chavches. Umakshin and alav b'gemara. My kama tatzina hachi kama. B'makom shesomchim shochtim she tekef l'smicha shchita. Upirish Rashi kushes ha'gemara. Dilisni, take of l'smicha shchita. The Mishnah should have just simply said, take of l'smicha shchita. Vanoya dana, we would know that if the shchita has to take place immediately following the smicha, then there can't be a hefsek between the two. We could derive logically the conclusion that b'makom shesomchim shochtim. So the Gemara says, you know, why did the Mishnah start with, you know, with this principle of b'makom shesomchim shochtim? Just give me the principle of take of l'smicha shchita, and I logically could derive the conclusion that b'makom shesomchim shochtim. In other words, if both the smicha and the shchita have to take place without any hefsek in it, then they both have to take place in the same location, because otherwise there's going to be a hefsek. Behind the machshin and amai toni lekibeis dinim. Why does the Mishnah have it like two different dinim? They din echad. Umeshani, the Gemara answers, hokikam v'makom shesomchim shochtim. Why? Mishum shetekef l'smicha shchita. So the Gemara says that really it should have been written in a conceptual sense. It should have been tekef l'smicha shchita, and then I would know to derive the conclusion that b'makom shesomchim shochtu. But the Mishnah wanted to spell out the b'makom shesomchim shochtu. If you ask me why does the place of smicha and the place of shchita have to be the same location, the answer is because mishum tekef l'smicha shchita. Everybody have that? Okay. And now the Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah is bothered. The Rambam uses the language of the Mishnah, but the Gemara reinterprets it and basically reformulates the Mishnah. The Rambam should have had the reformulation. Omnam be'emes mevur b'Rambam behemshech dvarav de'beis dinim. The Rambam really has two different dinim. First, he has the din of b'makom shesomchim shochtim, and therefore the Rambam goes on to say v'yimshach b'makom acher. Then he has the halach of tekev l'smicha shchita, and he says oshesh shah. The svile de b'din tekev l'smicha shchita nemu beis dinim. Although there's one principle, but it really generates two dinim. One din is that the shchita has to take place in the makom smicha, in the same place as the smicha. And number two, there should not be any time lapse between the smicha and the shchita. Lachain chilkon harambam. That's why the Rambam divides them into two. Afporesha, even from the get-go, the opening phrase and the formulation of the principle, beis dinim. There are two dinim. Lememra de'ikar din shelo lishos v'shelo lishanos makom. If you want to know what these two dinim is, number one, you're not allowed to delay between the smicha and the shchita. Number two, both the smicha and the shchita have to take place in the same place. The afal gav da gemara ba gemara mina de tekel smicha shita mitam lahad beinish de shchita. In other words, there aren't really, I mean, there are two dinim, but they're nothing more than applications of the same principle called tekel smicha shchita. Hainu lememra da af hadin shalom lashanos makam hu bechlal hadin shal tekel smicha shchita v'lo mitam acher. Although the Lekushta Nemru Bahachilchus of Beis Dinim Shalo Yishem Shalo Yishane Mokom. Okay, so this is all a very fine and dandy introduction. All we have to take from this is that if you read the Rambam carefully, there are two dinim under this general rubric of Tekef L'smicha Shchita. Number one, that the Shchita has to take place in the same location as the smicha. Number two, that the shchita has to take place immediately following the smicha without any shahia, without any delay in between. Okay, that's number one. Now if you read the next Kesef Mishnah, which he has here in the paragraph Ode, so you don't have to bother going back to the Kesef Mishnah if you don't want, it's just an extra tircha, but I like to do it for myself. And the Kesef Mishnah writes, Umasha Kosov, that which the Rambam writes, V'im Shachat B'makom Acher. So he did the Shchit in a different place than the Smicha, B'diyemi, right? Oh, Sheshah Shchitaso, oh, Sheshah, or he may have done both the Smicha and the Shchit in the same place, but he waited a time lapse between the Shchit between the Smicha and the Shchit, is Shchitaso Ksheira. On that, Shchitaso Ksheira, the Kesef Mishnah adds, Nilmad Mimashikosav Lekaman B'Somach. this we derive from that which the Rambam says later on. What does the Rambam say immediately later on? How does he classify smicha? Who remembers? Shiore mitzvah, right? That's the key phrase. That smicha is shiore mitzvah. And basically, I think what the Kesavish is saying, and I hope we'll see this inside, if my head is screwed on right, that even if he leaves out the smicha, the Rambam is going to establish that he's yotzi. So how much more so if the smicha was not done tekef l'shchita? In other words, within the details of smicha, we have a halacha called tekef l'smicha shchita. He messed up on that. In one of two ways. Either because he did the shkita in a different place, or because he waited until he did the shkita. Says the Rambam, according to the Kesef Mishnah, who cares? Alright, he messed up on the smicha. What if he would omitted the smicha in Ganset? He didn't do the smicha at all. It would still be kosher. Let's see if I'm right. He says the following, Od Kosef HaKesef Mishnah, Akav, the Kavanasa, line 4. We're bottom right now on page Chav Ches. The kavanasa the hadim avar v'shav oshina makom shkaz kshera. Why is it that if he messed up on some of l'shchita, l'smicha shchita in one of two ways? Either he delayed until he did the shchita, or he did the shchita in a different location. Kshera mitam mashakos v'arama behemshet dvar shasmicha shiari mitzvah v'im lo samach kiper v'enam akeres. The Rambam says clearly that smicha is not likuva. Very nice embellishment. It's like shiurei mitzvah, pretties up the mitzvah, but it's not essential. V'lachem, im shah oshia makom, ishkitasa ksheira de lo gara mi im lo sama klal. You can't tell me that if you didn't do smicha exactly the way he was meant to do it, it's worse than if you didn't do smicha at all. U'lachora mevur v'divrei ha-kesef mishnah v'das ha-rambam, the din tekef l'smicha shchita ma'akev b'din ha'smicha. Wow, okay. Rabosa, here is the punchline. Only the Rosh Hashiva could see this. Brilliant insight. From the fact that the Kesef Mishnah says in the Rambam that if you messed up on the law, the requirement of tekef l'smicha shchita, it's kasha, is because even if you had dropped the smicha and completely omitted it, the shechita is okay, the carbon is fine, because smicha is only shiari mitzvah. It seems that as far as smicha is concerned, you weren't yotz in the midst of smicha. Watch this. This is a beautiful, compelling logic. He's establishing in the Kesef Mishnah the following equation. The Kesef Mishnah is operating with the following equation. If you messed up on samach on tekef l'smicha shchita, which means one of two things, right? You didn't do the shchita in the place of the smicha, or you delayed until you did the shchita. That equals not doing smicha at all, and that's what the Rambam means when he says here lefichach. The lefichach in the Rambam is telling you that the reason why, if you messed up on the din, the requirement to tekef l'smicha shchita, everything's fine, is because it's as if you didn't do the smicha. And if you didn't do the smicha, Rambam says, you achieve kapar even without smicha. Because smicha is only what? Shiari mitzvah. Is Mimela, he wants to be medayik in the Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam, that according to the Rambam, you messed up on tekef l'smicha shchita, you forfeited the mitzvah of smicha, but the Rambam is saying, who cares? Because even if you omitted smicha, the carbon is kosher. But surely, as far as the smicha is concerned, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of smicha. And that's against Tosfos, because if you go back to the previous page, he starts after the asterisk, as I called it, till I know it. He says after the star, Nisbar mi dibre Tosfos, it didn't take the smicha shchita, ena ma'akev b'smicha. In other words, even if I hold that tekef l'smicha shchita is a doraisa requirement, but if I don't fulfill that requirement, then in the end I was yotze the mitzvah of smicha. Whereas the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam is learning that I wasn't yotze the mitzvah of smicha, and for all intents and purposes, if I messed up on tekef l'smicha shchita, it's as if I omitted the smicha. No smicha. But the Rambam, zero smicha is fine as far as the carbon is concerned. Erez Nishkin Grace Tzadik, as we'd say in Yiddish, you know, we're not going to give him Shlishi because he brought a carbon without smicha. That's not a good thing. But the carbon is kosher. He doesn't have to replace it with another carbon. But he didn't do smicha. Whereas Tosfos says, and again, we didn't have a chance to go through the Tosfos, but we'll accept it now in blind faith, that according to Tosfos, even with regard to the mitzvah of smicha, the requirement of tekef le-smicha shchita is always lechat fila. And to the Yemen, if you didn't do a tekef, which means two things, right? If you didn't do a tekef, you were yotz in the mitzvah of smicha. You did a smicha. Whereas the Kesvish and the Rabbim say you didn't do smicha, who cares? All right, you didn't do smicha, the carbon is kosher. Rob
Person?
Yeah.
In smicha, isn't there not a vidui, a moral declaration, I've sinned, I've done this?
Or say one more time, vidui, you said?
When a person doing smicha, maybe not in the case of Mitzora, but isn't there a vidui? And
correct.
Okay, but in this case, there's not a...
Correct. Again, vidui has to have, no matter what. But smicha, which is a... you're asking a very fundamental question. What's the relation between vidui and smicha? You know, they both take place at the same time, but I don't know if they're interrelated. I just simply don't know. I didn't see anything here, whatever I managed to cover so far, that would indicate that the mitzvah of smicha depends upon vidui. I mean, the karma maybe depends upon vidui, because, you know, we have a principle that zevach rishonim toeva, so without doing tshuva, if he still wants to be a violator, a criminal, then he doesn't have any karma and any kapara. But as far as smicha is concerned, smicha is a mitzvah. Maybe at the time of smicha he'll do the vidui, but smicha is a mitzvah. Now let's just fast forward for a moment to the next paragraph for Haya Efshar. You have that? He's suggesting now an alternative reading of the Rambam, leaving the Kesef Mishnah on the side. The Hadim Shal Shina B'Makom Shchitaso Oshina Makom Ishchitaso Ksheira Hayim Yishum Didin Tekev L'Smicha Shchita Inim Ha'akim B'Mitzvah Smicha. Now he wants to identify the Rambam with the Shita of Tosfos that, even as far as the mitzvah smicha is concerned, the requirement of tekef l'smicha shchita in all its permutations is not indispensable. It's not critical. And the Rambam holds, like Tosfos, that you could fulfill the mitzvah smicha even though you did not do a tekef. Again, you know, what we're driving at here is what happens if a person messed up with tekef l'smicha shchita. If the shchita was already done, then we call it fafalon. You know, it's already too late. You know, spilled milk. But let's say the shchita hasn't been done yet. Should he do another smicha? You know, if you hold like Tosfos the shchita, then even though it wasn't tekef, you know, he jumped around over himself and so on, but he was yotzei the mitzvah smicha. It's pointless to require another smicha to replace the first smicha. But if you're going the way the Kesef Mishnah, who identifies this case where he was Shah, or it wasn't Mamakom, he says that's as if he omitted smicha entirely, then why not encourage him now to do the smicha for the sake of the mitzvah? Now, what the Nefesh Tov is doing at this point is he's offering an alternative interpretation of the Rambam. The Rambam also agrees to the Shitas HaTosfos, and in the absence of Samach L'Shchita, Samach L'Tekev L'Smicha Shchita, he would still have fulfilled his mitzvah of Smicha. No need for a replacement Smicha. K'moshe Nisvarli El Midiyu P'diri HaTosfos, we medayik like this in Tosfos. Ah, but wait a minute. The Rambam in his next line says that Smicha is only Shiari Mitzvah, and he's machapri without smicha. I mean, after all, the Kesef Mishnah seems to be begging us to go his way. He says, "V'had kasva Rambam basar came in the next line." Shimlo sama klal einu ma'akir b'karbo and din v'fnei atzmahu. You know, it's all a question of how to punctuate the Rambam. You know, the Rambam is not punctuated, so he's offering another punctuation, an alternative, a possibility here. That when you get to the words in the Rambam, Shchitaso Ksheira, at that point you put a period. Let's even go beyond that. You put, you know, those two lines that go this way with a half a C, you know, a new paragraph. You press the return button, as we say in computers, right? And it's a new paragraph. And the Rambam now goes off on a new discussion about smicha, and he wants to know what happens if a person completely omitted smicha. But this second part of the Rambam here is not related and is not being offered as an explanation to the Reisha of the Rambam, the first part of the Rambam. He's not saying, well, why is it that the Shechita is Kshera in this case? Because he could drop the smicha entirely. That's how he gets the Mishnah reads. So no, the Rambam now, stop, full stop. Now he's talking about something else. I'd be curious to see, just give me a second, that would be cool. In the back of the Frankel edition, there's something called Yalkut Shimi Meschos. I wonder if by chance, you know, that somebody adds a period here. You know, this is based on manuscripts. Mamish, they went through, there's so much research went to this, to creating this version, this edition of the Rambam. So we're in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis, am I correct? Okay, Ksav Yad Hemshech Halo V'im Shachat. Where is this V'im Shachat? Oh, V'im Shachat. Ah, there is something interesting here. He doesn't add the period that I was hoping he would add. But he says, if you see the word Kshera, so he says the word Kshera does not go on Shechita, but rather the word Kshera goes on Smicha. Wow, that would be exciting. I don't know it's not clear to me.
What would be the implications of Smicha Kshera? That would mean, what are the implications?
In other words, the way the Kesef Mishnah is learning is Shechitas on Kshera, which means that the carbon is kosher. It's not the Smicha that's Kshera. The Smicha is certainly not Kshera because you messed up on Tekef with Smicha Shechita. But if you go with the Ayin Tova, the Nefesh Tova, then he's saying that when the Rambam says Kshera, the word Kshera is referring to the Smicha. Again, but the problem is, so why did the Rambam confuse us by adding the word Shechitaso? Is he going to take that word out? Let me just see. I don't know. All I can read to you here, this is called Yalkut Shini Neschos. In the back of the Frankel, he says, "Umashe kosev achakach kshera koya smicha v'lo ashchita." Oh, beautiful! I just chapped what he's saying. Look at the words in the Rambam. Oshe shah, and then we read kama shchitas kshera. That's how the Kesef Mishnah is reading it. That his shchita is kosher. Which means the carbon is kosher. Shechita is the first of the four avodos. And why is it? Because he messed up on the smicha. But who cares? Smicha is only shiari mitzvah. That's not how you read it. You read it like this: Oshe shah shechitaso. He delayed his shechita. In other words, after his smicha, instead of immediately doing shechita, he delayed his shechita. Kshera, and the word kshera is referring to smicha. That the smicha is kshera.
And that's in the world where the smicha is secondary, peripheral to the mitzvah, or?
No, again, in the Kesef Mishnah, what you say, Ben, is absolutely correct, and that's what the Rambam is trying to tell us, that smicha is peripheral. And that's what he calls shiari mitzvah. And therefore, you read the word shchitas al kshera, that the Rambam wants to tell you that even though he messed up on the smicha, and the smicha is completely valueless, but nevertheless, the shchita is kshera, meaning the carbon is kosher. Why? Because smicha is only peripheral. But now we're reading it in a different way. Oh, sheshah shchitaso. Don't put a comma after the word sheshah. Shah shchitaso. He delayed his shchita. He was meant to do the shchita immediately at 7 p.m., you know, 7 a.m., and he did it at 7:01. So he delayed his shchita. His kshera. What's kshera? The smicha is the smicha kshera. Wow, that is cool. I get very excited about that because, you know, the thing about the Rambam is, and I did a lot of research on Hilchos Talmud Torah. I have 500 pages in typed up form waiting to be printed. But anyway, and what I noticed is that it's so critical to know exactly how to read the Rambam. It's, you know, where you put the pauses and the commas. Well, so that's what he writes in this paragraph, Ahoya Efshar. And then he calls it Din B'fnei Atzmo. Okay, fine. She didn't take it for smicha shchita. Eino meyakav is hasmicha. Vasmicha kula loma akva. Okay. Let's just fast forward to the beginning of Chavtes. You still have Chavtes, right?
Yes.
The difference between the two ways of interpreting the Rambam. So they took the animal after smicha and they brought it to a different place. If we're going to say that take it for smicha shchita is ma'akev in the smicha, in other words, he wasn't yotzi the smicha, is tzarech. Lorutzar, I added a word here, he has to run after the carbon, lachzar, the lisma of bimokom shchita. Aval im din tekef l'smicha shchita eino ma'akev, afil b'mitzah smicha, if he was yotzi the mitzah smicha, is eino yochol lachzar the lisma. Dokfar kiem smichas of a carbon. I'm not sure exactly what he means by eino yochol, I don't know. What was artmir we say in Yiddish? Well, why would he kill me if he did another smicha and it was completely unnecessary? I don't know. Is there baltoisif here in smicha? I don't know what he means. The ayin b'minchaschina should cause the divrei Rambam nirashim shina makom. If he did the shechita in a different place than he did the smicha, ain't tzarech lachzor v'lismot pamacheres. So in other words, the minchaschina is learning in the Rambam that the din of tekef l'smicha shchita is not li'ikuva in the mitzvah of smicha. There's no need for another smicha to replace the first. And he says that according to the Kesef Mishnah, this is not so. Now let's fast forward to Vehine posak od harambam. So now he's going to halacha yud aleph. So we're going actually backwards here. You have to turn back one page. Ein sochin elevaz zara. This reminds us of that brisa that says that smicha has to be won by tahorim, because again, if it's in the azor, you have to be tar. Soma chutzla zara. He did the smicha outside the azor. So what's the deal now? He should have done the smicha where? In the azor, but he did it outside. So v'chazar is chozer v'someh b'fnim. In other words, that for sure is likuva. He did not fulfill the mitzvah smicha outside. He's got to enter in and do the smicha. Again, in the case of Hashem Mitzora, the way we saw the brisa with the Shar Nikanar, I mean, we didn't look up the Rambam, but it would have to be that the requirement of smicha in the case of Hashem Mitzora is only the Rabbanan, and therefore the Rabbanan are going to drop this requirement of Ein Somchin El Abazon. The imhaya bala komen omeid bachutz, the hichnis yado lifnim v'somach, smichas ok sheira.
Wow, that's not all about Ula. Ula says if the mitzak kaviyata mikdashra, it's not all about Ula.
Right. You have to know exactly who the Rambam is paskining. Like, you know, that's a research project. But who she yismach b'chol kocho? Oh, v'yein somach el tahar, because again, it's got to be in the azora. V'yim somach hatame is somach. It sounds like the evidence kosher. Now he quotes the likutei halachas. Do you see that bottom right? V'hine posak. Now, Rabbi Osai, who wrote the likutei halachas? I mentioned this in my introductory shiur. That was a while ago. It's like a month ago already, right? Chofetz Chaim, exactly. And I've never seen so far in the Nefesh HaTova that he quotes the Chofetz Chaim. He's always quoting the briskets, you know, this Salavetchik and that Salavetchik, the father, the son, the uncle, the grandson. But now he's quoting the good old Chofetz Chaim. And he says, in the name of the Chofetz Chaim, the Hodekos Varam Shitzorach Lachzor V'lismo Bifnim, that if he did the smicha outside the azor, he has to go into the azor and redo his smicha. Who kedas atosvist? This is back on Lamed Beis. The hod ve'inan smicha b'fnim u'mishum d'ksiv b'smicha lifnei Hashem. When the Torah says v'samach, it says lifnei Hashem, which means in the azor. And therefore, outside of the azor is nothing. He's got to go inside the azor and do it again. That's likuv. Aval das Rashi. The hod v'inan smicha b'fnim, who mishum din tekef l'smicha shchita. Ah, that's fascinating. that Rashi's shita is that if you're outside, you're going to have a hefsek until you get inside to do the shechita. Which means, as far as the smicha is concerned, I don't care that you did the smicha outside, but you're going to mess up in this din of tekef l'smicha shechita. Now, we said the tekef l'smicha shechita in the second pshat that we had in the Rambam is not evenly kuva and smicha. And yet the Rambam is requiring him to go back in and do smicha. So we're in a crossroads. So either we could say that the Rambam Enochinami accepts Rashi, and if the Rambam accepts Rashi, the whole din of Azara is only because of Tekef, and then we're going to have to go with the Kesef Mishnah's first pshat, that if he messes up on Tekef with smicha shechita, because from the outside the Azara is a hefsek, then he's going to have to redo his smicha. But if we go with the second interpretation, that of the Nefesh Tova, which he claims is also the Chaschinuch, that the Rambam like Tosfos would hold that b'dieved, even though it wasn't taken for smicha shechita, nevertheless he would yotze the mitzvah of smicha. So why is the Rambam requiring a new smicha when he did the smicha outside the Azara? And the answer is because doing the smicha outside the Azara, like Shitas HaTosfos, passels the smicha, not because it's not taken for smicha.
Well, the animal can't leave the Azara, right?
Well, the animal is not yet in the Azara. I mean, it depends. I mean, you know, right now we're doing the smicha. If, let's say, he did the smicha outside of the Azara, right? That's before they took the animal into the Azara. I mean, an animal's not born in the Azara, you know what I'm saying? So that's Rashi Shita. And he says the following. Ulekach ain't smicha b'chutz, u'shchita b'fnir, v'msomach b'chutz, ain't tzorach lachzor v'lismach b'fnir. He says that according to Rashi, if he did the smicha outside, he doesn't have to redo the smicha. Why? Because the whole requirement of Azara, according to Rashi, is only because of Tekev, and Tekev is only l'chatchil, it's not for the Eved. So the Chofetz Chaim is certainly identifying Rashi Shita as the second interpretation of the Rambam, that same Shita, that Tekev l'smicha shchita is not even ma'akim in the smicha itself. Because of Sheish Lidchos, the after the evidence of Shachat, the Eino Likuv, Mikomkom Kozman, Shalosh Shachat, Tzorach Lachso, Velismo, Bifnim, Kedek. Oh, he wants to suggest now that even Rashi would agree that if the Shechita has not yet been implemented, then he should redo his Smicha inside the Azor. Even though it's all based on taking the Smicha Shechita, but that would passel the Smicha, and here it's going like the first Pshat. In other words, just to summarize, just make sure we're all on the same radar screen. The Likutei Halachos vacillates back and forth on how to understand Rashi's Shita. Rashi says the reason we require Azara for Smicha is because of Tekef. And now he vacillates. What would Rashi say in the case we did the Smicha outside the Azara? Would he have to redo the Smicha? Initially he thinks, no need to replace the Smicha, because it's not a problem. I mean, you know, so he messed up on Tekef, but that's okay. But in the end, that's okay. The Smith is Kshayra. But then he vacillates and he says, no, maybe Rashi himself would agree that this halach of Tekef l'smicha shchita is absolutely critical in Smicha, and if he has to redo the Smicha. Did you want to?
I
just wanted to get
That's fine. I'm hearing two things. One is Smicha b'di'evad l'chatchila, or is it because it's the Rabbanan? I mean, are those two valid ways of looking at smicha?
Well, again, if it's the Rabbanan, again, my head is not, sort of tied into the Rabbanan, because although the Gemara does mention that option, we're not assuming so anywhere in today's discussion. But if smicha would only be a Rabbanan, then I would grant you that it would not be likuva. And I'm even inclined to think that the halach of tekev l'smicha shechita would not be likuva. Wait a second. You know what? I said something that was very wrong. There's no one who says that smicha is the rabbanon. Nobody says that.
I'm sorry.
Only by Hasham Mitzorah, there's somebody who might claim that smicha is the rabbanon. What I meant to say, the tekev l'smicha shechita might be the rabbanon. Yeah. Go ahead.
I should have specified that. So the idea of it being somech,
right?
That could be drama. Or is the other opinion? No, it's definitely even that smicha is d'oraita, but it's a question of the chachila b'di'evad, even b'di'evad.
And the third possibility is that taking the smicha shita is even b'di'evad as far as smichas can. So nobody would say it's ma'akiv in the karma, because even if you completely omitted the smicha, right, then the karma is kosher. Done? Okay. Mevur de smirle lo likute halachas bedas harambam de din tekef with smicha shkita eno ma'akiv ulechor zed de loka kesef mishnah el kiderach shnia. The Rambam says explicitly, "Somach chutz lazor v'chozer v'somich b'fnim." Chozer v'somich b'fnim. Maybe he means that, you know, it's a nice thing to do. I don't know what he means here. Before he said not like it. Uludvarav heichad the sum of withil echad the beimel makom acher lo yeitzar klatsav al lismok tohavi dumya the mashikosav to das Rashi toh the ain't sum of uchutzum yishum take us to the hachi of sum of uchutzay the sar klats with dimla das arama heichad the sum of bifnim v'shino makom ain't sar klatsar v'lismok. Just 1 second. Shina Moko. Ah. Heichad the Samach Bifnim. Oh, I'm sorry. Heichad the Samach Bifnim. He's discussing now the case where he did the smith inside the Azorah, but then he took a nice walk in and with the Behema, right, to do the Shrit in a different place. And in such a case, He doesn't have to redo the smicha. That's how he learns the Chofetz Chaim, which is the same as the alternative pshat in the Rambam, leaving the Kesef Mishnah's pshat on the outside. But Umashe Kosev Halakuti Alof the Yesh Lichus the Afludas Rashi Im Soma Bechutz Efshad the Tzarech Latzor the Lisvok with Nikhtel Kainin Tzarech Iv the Kevin the Yotzi the Smicha the Eved Mama Hani Mashe Kosev the Soma Chokvar Kiev Smicha Rishon. In other words, he's bothered by the following question. This is a fascinating question, and it has repercussions all over Shas. The Chofetz Chaim assumes that in Rashi's frame of reference, that the halacha of Azara, the requirement of Azara and Smicha is only because of Tekev L'Smicha Shchita, that Rashi would certainly hold that if he did the Smicha outside the Azara, he would be yotzei the mitzvah of Smicha. And then the Chofetz Chaim says, but maybe, possibly, Rashi would also require that he pick himself up, go into the Azara, and do a replacement smicha. He says, that's a problem. He calls it Tzarech Iyun at the end of this paragraph. He's asking a kasha on the Chofetz Chaim. Why? You can't speak from two sides of your mouth. You're contradicting yourself. You can't say from one side of your mouth that he was yotze in the midst of smicha, because tekef the smicha shchit is only a l'chatchila aloch, and then from the other side he might say you should redo the smicha, because he can't redo a mitzvah once you fulfill that mitzvah. This the Rav used to tell us over the name of his grandfather Rav Chaim. You know, if you have two esrogim in front of you, one esrog you're not sure if it's kosher or not, it might be a lemon, and the other one is definitely an esrog. But the problem is the Suffolk lemon is a beautiful esrog. It's Zekeh Mavev. The one that's definitely an esrog is never, you know, bottom of the barrel. You know, it's not for Ushpizin, whatever it's called. What was the name of that?
Ushpizin.
Yeah, Ushpizin. Wasn't 1,000 shekel of this. So you and I would have said, well, let him take the one that's definitely kosher. But Reb Chaim says he should switch the order. He should take the one that might be a lemon, because if he takes the one that's definitely kosher, then he can't take the Suffolk lemon afterwards and get the mitzvah of Zekeh Liyaveyu of Hidur Mitzvah, because he was already yotzei the mitzvah. But if he takes the one that's a Suffolk lemon first, then on the side that it's really an esrog, he was yotzei the mitzvah of Mahudar, and the second taking of the esrog is completely superfluous. But if it's the other way around, in other words, if he takes the Vade Kosher, then once he takes the Vade Kosher, he's out of the ballpark. So that's, I think, a similar kasha that he's asking on Rashi here, because how could Rashi maintain that in Somach Bechutz Yotza, according to Rashi Shita, that's how the Chofetz Chaim learns Rashi, and yet, even though he's Yotzei Smicha, the Chofetz Chaim still vacillates that maybe he should be encouraged to do the smicha again with a take of the smicha shechita. But once he was yotzei in the midst of smicha, it just seems pointless to do the smicha again.
I mean, for yotzei, even b'di'evad, you're yotzei. To do it again, because this time you want to be lechatchila, might be baltosi for some other.
Right, it might even be problematic. That's what we medayk in his lashon, that any yochel lachs over lisvach if he was yotzei smicha. You know, we don't allow you to do a mitzvah twice. Matz is a little bit different. The Netziv assumes that even though you only have to eat one kezayis matzah, if you eat a second kezayis matzah, it also might enhance the mitzvah. You know, but that's not usual. Now, the next piece that I wanted to do with you is on page Lamed Aleph, but I don't think we photocopied that, so we'll leave that for tomorrow. I'll just give it to you. And this is such a classical chakira. You know, I give shirim on Derech Halima. This would be a perfect sample. He says the following, Yeshli Stapeg, I vacillate on how to define the din of tekef l'smicha shkita. I avi din b'smicha, sheteya smicha smucha l'shkita, u'b'makom ha-shkita, o dilma havi din b'shkita, shetzarech l'shkot tekef li'achar ha-smicha u'bi oso makom shesomach. Where's the source, the root of this halacha that unifies? Like, there's a famous chakir of the Stipler about Smichas gula tefillah. You'd have to say Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, then immediately start Shemot Esrei. Let's say a Myra, for example, right? That's a classical example. So the stipend wants to know, is it a din in gula? In other words, that the Baruch of Gal Yisrael has to be placed immediately before and continuous to tefillah? Or is it din in tefillah? That tefillah has to come immediately after gula. You follow what I'm saying? But anyway, there are many examples of this structure, of this Derech HaLimud. Here's a perfect example. When we say that the smicha and the shechita have to go together, is that because of the smicha or is it because of the shechita? So believe that, I'm not promising anything. It all depends on the time allowances. But that's on page Lamed Aleph. So what do you have? The last page you have is Koftes?
Yes.
Okay. So then I'll ask you if you can to photocopy Lamed Aleph.
Okay.
Okay then? All right, Scott, this was a lot of fun.
Is the Rav going to publish what you wrote on the Mishnah Torah, Limud Torah? The Rambam?
Well, I